Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Amen. Well, here we are embarking on a new church year. Advent marks the time of preparation for Christ's coming. And that's what the word Advent means, coming. We remember his coming as a tiny babe in Bethlehem when God took on flesh to share in our nature and lot. We ponder his coming to us personally each time God comes to each and every one of us through God's word and the holy sacraments. And we also look forward to the parousia. That's another word that means coming, Christ's second coming, when he comes to save and redeem us to be part of God's faithful people. Each year in Advent, we begin a new set of readings in our lectionary. And if you look at our lectionary, you'd see that we'd started a whole new chapter here. When most of our gospel readings come from the book of Mark, and here we have on the screen the Lion of Mark. The interesting thing about Mark is that there are no stories about Jesus' birth in the gospel. You heard it at the beginning as I read it this morning. It starts talking about John the Baptizer. It simply starts about telling about the ministry of Jesus. Mark wasn't interested in wise men like Matthew or shepherds like Luke. Instead, Mark wanted to emphasize Jesus' ministry and Jesus' teachings. So his gospel begins with the start of Jesus' public ministry, the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is important to Mark because Jesus is God's son. God's son, it says in this gospel. And the parent-child relationship between Jesus and God is one of the kernels of the good news of the gospel we are to hear. This news about Jesus is good because God's goodness is intimately involved in the story and is intimately tied to the one whom we call Christ. To set the stage, Mark reminds his readers of the words from the first testament. Mark was quoting, albeit loosely, from the prophet Isaiah. And fortunately for us, we have the Isaiah passage that he quoted as our first lesson this morning, and we can plumb the riches of that text for ourselves. Isaiah 40 is from the second part of that book, which most Bible scholars think was written by a second author, a second Isaiah, sometimes they call him. Mark depends upon this part of Isaiah for much of his gospel, and it is eschatological in nature. In other words, it is looking forward to the hope of a time when God will come to redeem God's people. And that word eschatology refers to hope. Second Isaiah was written during the Babylonian exile, and the people of God are homesick. The element of hope that Second Isaiah latches onto was that one day the people would indeed return from exile and back to Jerusalem. It would be as though it were a second exodus through the wilderness, albeit coming from the east instead of from the west in Egypt, coming through the wilderness to the city of Zion, the city of Jerusalem. Hence, Mark capitalizes on that Old Testament vision of hope for the people of his day. Jesus has come to announce the hope-filled news of the gospel, and the gospel is always and only good news. In fact, later in this same chapter, Jesus says, "The time is already here. The reign of God has come near to you. Believe this good news and amend your lives, folks." Jesus will take up the message of John the Baptizer and expand upon it. Not only will he preach repentance as John did, but also will announce the forgiveness of sins through faith. Mark identifies John the Baptizer as God's messenger of hope, as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John is the forerunner of Christ and points the way to him. The baptizer appears in the wilderness, in reality a desert, and so that even though John was by the side of the river, once one gets beyond the riverbank, as you see here in the slide, the vegetation halts and the desert takes over. Yet, the desert is the perfect place for John's ministry because it is the place where the people of Israel have always returned to find repentance and redemption. John's mission is to preach a return to God for the forgiveness of sins. It is a ministry of confession and forgiveness. John's baptism is for a different purpose than the Christian baptism that we experience here at our font. John's baptism is a sign of contrition, a sign of sorrow for sin. Christian baptism is an initiation into the life of faith in Christ. John points the way to Christ, the one who comes after him and who baptizes not only with water, but also with the gift of the Holy Spirit. John is the forerunner of Christ. Christ with his gift of grace. Here in the opening chapters of Mark, we have the good news. The good news that Christ is soon to appear among us and to bring the good news that Isaiah had hoped for. In Christ, God will comfort the people. In Christ, God will speak tenderly to Jerusalem. In Christ, God will speak the good news of the forgiveness of sin and show the tender compassion of the good shepherd who tends the lamb even as he gently leads the mothers as well. These opening chapters of Mark are full of the promise of hope, the hope of the gospel. They promise life renewed. They promise the constancy of God's word of grace. They promise a new beginning to those who make an honest appraisal of their lives. They promise forgiveness, peace, and love, hope to all of those who return to the Lord. Steadfast love that comes to us through salvation. Salvation that comes in its own good time, Peter told us. Salvation that leads us through the desert of our lives upon the highway of faith, directly and always to our good and gracious God. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.